Jeff, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good. Glad to be with you.
Oh, thanks for taking a few minutes. LeSean McCoy, is he really dumb or really, really dumb for posting his private party details on Instagram?
I think that he didn't know what he was doing, and I think that he just spewed all that out, and now he has to face the repercussions of it. I think he was really dumb for doing it, but I also think that in doing it, he needs to kind of play damage control and ensure that it doesn't happen again, because you're going to have the same thing happen.
Does it not seem like the NFL is already writing season two of Ballers already? Because there's been a lot of dumb stuff that's happened in the last few months surrounding players in the offseason.
Oh, man. In between Jason Pierre-Paul's firework incident, now C.J. Wilson just announced today that he's going to step away from the game due to another firework incident. The NFL has a lot of storylines, even in the offseason. You would think that it would calm down and be quiet, but no, I think the offseason has been more adventurous and harder to follow than the actual season itself, because now you have guys chasing stories, Adam Schefter from ESPN leaking HEPA violations, and it's been all over the place, and I think it's just even further so enhancing what the season is yet to come. And I mean, even a month out from the season starting, oh man, I'm so excited. I think that if you were to have a spring league, if what is being reported is true, that the NFL is really having backdoor discussions about a spring league, it could really trigger a 24/7, 365 NFL experience that I don't even think the fans are ready for.
It's been a very interesting offseason as Jeff Hauser joins us from SB Nation. There's a couple suspensions handed out today. Let's start with Sean Smith. He pled guilty to a DUI last month. He's going to miss three games. How big of a loss is that for the Chiefs defense?
Well, in Smith's case, I think that it's not going to be that much of a tremendous loss. You know, he did fill in some gaps, and he was such a great player for the Chiefs, but really you just have to look at it and say that he's getting three games for a DUI. I mean, that's pretty low. I think that when you put yourself and others at risk, that should carry a more lengthy suspension than what he's been handled. And I think the NFL was being a little bit too lenient on him, but for the first three games, it's not going to be that significant of a gap to where teams aren't deciding seasons within the first three games. And for the Chiefs defense, I mean, we're talking about a defense that has been really good. You've got Tamba Ali still there, Justin Houston, who's a sack master. I think they'll be okay in the interim.
Jeff Hauser joins us talking NFL. Derek Wolfe's going to miss four games for the Broncos. Is that a big loss on the defensive side of their ball? We obviously know the weapons they have on offense, but you know that Bronco defense was still pretty decent last year at some points.
It was decent. I mean, Wolfe has had some issues health-wise, and he's been struggling with some of the things in his career due to a spinal injury that has been kind of undefined early in his career. But now that he's been handed this four-game suspension, of course, Gary Kubiak has said that he's disappointed within that. But you have a guy behind him who I know quite well in Malik Jackson, who has just been a stud for the Denver Broncos, and he's really done everything that he can. And he's actually had more snaps than Derek Wolfe has on that line. So you're not losing a whole lot, but yet in the same sense you are in a pretty stout defense. You know, you do take away Derek Wolfe and what he can do on the field when he's healthy, and four games is going to be pretty significant, just given the fact that the Broncos did have troubles really filling those gaps right in the middle of their defense last year in the linebacking core, and to have that first line of defense a little bit more depleted, not really, but for the first four games, you're not really going to see any significance.
According to the NFL Network, Jeff, it looks like the Saints are going to release Junior Gallette. Is he going to catch on with another team before training camp picks up?
I don't know if it'll be before training camp, but I do think that he finds a new home somewhere. And this was all stemming from what supposedly was a video of him striking a woman with a belt and some type of a domestic act. And You know, these cases are becoming too common among NFL players that it's just sickening. It first started with Ray Rice, but even before Ray Rice, the emergence of social media as well as YouTube and other things have made it more accessible for these type of incidents to happen. And everybody has to know, the camera's on you 24/7, whether you like it or not. All it takes is one person pulling out a cell phone, taking video of you, it gets on the internet. He should have known better. But I mean, for Junior Gallette, he's a defensive-minded stud. He has been for the Saints, and he's kept that Saints defense together. I'm glad that they are parting ways, because I'm glad that the Saints are being very proactive and not wasting any time in the process of trying to keep him. It's very unfortunate, because he is such a damn good defensive player. It's just going to take time for a team to catch on. Now, I contrast that to the Ray Rice situation. You know, Ray Rice still hasn't found another team, but that's because Ray Rice's production values as a running back was going downhill with the Baltimore Ravens before they released him. Junior Gallette has stayed pretty steady, to where the Saints knew what they had to do. It was very unfortunate what they had to do, but going forward, I think he does land with another team, just given his talent.
Jeff Hauser joined us talking NFL earlier this week. Jeff, Mike Tomlin signed a contract extension to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It still amazes me that they've had three coaches and for however, seems like forever. Who's the best coach in the NFL, in your opinion, not named Bill Belichick?
Ooh, see, that's tough, because you've got a couple to choose from. And really, when you look at the coaches out there, I mean, Belichick does come to mind, I will say that. But Belichick also has a pretty clear-cut system of what he's established there in New England, and I think that he's comfortable. If you put him into any other situation within the NFL, I don't think that he thrives as well as he does, and people don't really understand that. I would say, it's so tough to even say, because outside of Belichick, you have some emerging head coaches. I mean, Tomlin is one of those guys that the Steelers have really invested time within and been very proactive about it. But I think one is really one coach that has gone unmentioned a lot of times is Jason Garrett with the Dallas Cowboys. Given what he's done with a team who has struggled so many years before him getting there, and to take Tony Romo and to put him into a system that he can thrive in, I think that's amazing to do. And I wouldn't say that he's one of the coaches that's going to be there, you know, decades upon decades, but just showing his body of work and what he's done so far with the Cowboys, I would say that that's definitely mentionable.
Jeff, which team, in your opinion, had the best offseason in the NFL?
Oh, that's a really tough question too, because it's still young at this point, because you're still getting the draft picks in. Training camp hasn't officially started yet. I know that the rookies are starting to gather and you're starting to have a lot of the players meeting, but I would say it's still too even young to say. I will say this. You do have a couple teams that have had some bright spots. Definitely the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, picking up Jimmy Graham, that was a very key move that they had to do going forward, because you're bringing in a guy who can be Russell Wilson's go-to guy, especially in the red zone. That was probably the best free agency pickup, and one that went kind of not really unnoticed, but you had another signing in Ndamukong Suh that kind of overshadowed all of that. And I'll be interested to see what Ndamukong Suh does with the Miami Dolphins, because a lot of people forget that he's still talented, even though, given his anger issues and his off-the-field issues, he's still very talented. And to throw him in a Miami system, either the cash will pay for itself or it'll be a bust. And I'm interested to see which side of the spectrum that lands on. But even given the right set of circumstances, I do think that the Seattle Seahawks find themselves back into the Super Bowl for sure.
The team they lost to, the Patriots, they're in some hot water this offseason. A report from Darren Revell from ESPN says Tom Brady has now led the NFL in merchandise for the first time in his career, which seems kind of funny. He might miss the first four games of the season. What do you think happens with this whole situation, Jeff? Is it four? Is it two? Or in the end, do you think Roger Goodell just throws that suspension away?
I think it's a steak dinner and apology from Roger Goodell, because you can't set the same set of circumstances for a guy in Greg Hardy who goes in and gets an appeal from 10 games down to four, and then try to suspend Tom Brady for really nothing. I mean, you have a Wells investigation and the report that followed that really didn't prove anything. There was nothing that linked Tom Brady to the report. Now, Tom has said him and his agent are willing to take this to federal court and to fight it as far as they could fight it. And Tom Brady has said that he wants exonerated all the way through. I was talking to one of my friends from the Boston Herald, Brad Johnson, who covers the Patriots, and he did say to me that that's the case, that Brady wants full exoneration. He doesn't want this hanging around. He wants to start week one. I ultimately think that that's going to happen, just given that the NFL doesn't want a PR nightmare. You have the first game of the season, and you have the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Patriots week one on Thursday night, first game of the season. I don't think that people are going to pay to see Jimmy Garoppolo go up against Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think that that's the current situation, nor how the NFL would want it to play out. It is going to be interesting to see how the NFL and Roger Goodell kind of skirt away, because we all remember now, they had the appeal, they've gone through that process, no ruling has been officially made, and Roger Goodell's had quite some time now to come out with something, and you keep hearing that there could be a ruling soon, there could be a ruling soon. I think that Roger's really checking all of his bases to see what they can do now going forward with the Patriots, because they don't have any evidence that's concrete enough to give him a clear-cut suspension. And they know that. So that's why you see the NFL really backing off and not doing a whole lot, not saying a whole lot. And I think it'll be a dead issue. I honestly do.
Jeff, we're about 5 weeks away from the NFL regular season. I appreciate you joining us on kind of a slow day in the NFL, but there's always lots to talk about. Jeff, enjoy the rest of your offseason. I'm sure we'll chat very soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.